Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. The role of local law enforcement and federal immigration enforcement was center stage in Delaware recently when the town of Camden quietly entered into and then quickly ended an immigration enforcement agreement with ICE known as a 287G agreement. These agreements allow local police to collaborate with ICE, but critics argue they can erode trust within immigrant communities. One of those critics is the executive director of the Latin American Community Center in Wilmington, Maria Matos, who recently penned an op-ed calling for a statewide ban on these agreements. This week, I sat down with Matos to discuss her concerns and the impact these agreements can have on Delaware communities. So I want to start with the agreements themselves. The agreement that the town of Camden entered into briefly was what's known as a 287G agreement. Can you explain a little bit about what they are and why they are problematic for communities, particularly here in Delaware?
What the agreement does is it extends the law enforcement's power to act as immigration officials. So they can arrest you for, I don't know, having a green card, not having a green card or not having papers. They stop you. They ask you for your immigration status. And I find that the immigrant community tends to tell the truth all the time. You know, in spite that they may get in trouble by telling the truth, they tend to be honest and hardworking people. And what it does, it gives the police officers, and the state of Delaware hasn't had a good history with police and communities of color. You know, we all know that. We've been working to get it better, and it is getting better. You know, there is a lot of people, a lot of police officers and those that are in charge working hard to make sure that the relationship between the communities continue to improve. But it hasn't been the best. So extending the law enforcement's power, not only to state issues or criminal issues or, I don't know, local stops, extended it, giving it more power as immigration. It has a lot of problems. Number one, they're not trained. Number two, we got some hotheads in our community, in our police force. Number three, there's a lot of racism. You know, I started my career in advocacy, fighting police brutality. I was arrested. I was involved in a riot. I mean, I was 25. I'm 75 now. That was like, you know, many, many years ago. But the thing is, I was 25 at the time. I'm 75 right now, and it's still going on. So I find it that it's a problem giving police officers more power than what they need.
One of the other issues you pointed out in your op-ed is that agreements like the one in Camden can also catch communities off guard. Why is that lack of transparency around these agreements also a significant issue? This one in Camden, really, nobody really knew about until after the fact.
That's a good question for our governor. I hate to put him on the spot, but that's a good question for him. Why is it that it caught us by surprise? Why didn't his office know? I mean, we're a small state. If it can't be done in Delaware, it can't be done anywhere. And we have to protect those that can't protect themselves. And, you know, there's no one waiting in line to pick mushrooms or strawberries at the in the middle of the heat in July. Who's going to go to the farms? So if we as a community gather our strength and say, no, we're not going to permit this in Delaware, we could do it. You know, that there's a risk that the Trump administration will not send us money. Yeah, there's a risk, but we can always go to court. You know, the work has to be done. It's not like he's in charge and that's it. His word is last and foremost. There are avenues that we can take to prevent him from making us another Hitler era. I don't know, something like that. But I believe that we can stop the 287G from happening across the state with a simple bill that one of the legislatures ought to put in place.
Well, you kind of alluded to earlier that there's a matter of trust, right, between law enforcement and communities, particularly communities of color. In the wake of this, what have you been hearing from community members about the impact these agreements have on that fundamental trust between the immigrant community and local law enforcement?
Well, they're not going to report crimes. They're not going to call the police if they're in trouble. You know, the work that has been done in the past 30 years to bring community of colors, immigrant communities, as a partner with police will dissolve because the trust is not there. How can you be an enforcer if that's not your job when you're telling me a police officer is your friend? Is your friend when you are in need? Is your friend when you are in trouble? Is your friend when somebody's committing a crime against you? Or you see a crime being committed, you're not going to call the police. First of all, the trust is not there 100%. We're still working on building that trust throughout the years. And it's just not going to improve if the community hears that the police has agreed to be an arm of the immigration enforcement so that they can deport you.
You mentioned some possible solutions at the state level, but before we get to that, I do want to ask, from the local government level, what would you like local governments to do if they're approached about these type of agreements, perhaps involving the public, perhaps, before entering in these agreements? Should there be a process there? So again, it's not something that people learn about after the fact as opposed to, you know, beforehand or have a chance to weigh in on?
No, did you just say no? We don't want to hear about it. Just say no. Have enough strength or backbone to say no. Our police, number one, we're stretched thin. Most of them do not have sufficient police officers to manage the crime as it is. And number two, our officers are not trained. They're not trained. And number three, we don't want to break that trust that we've built in the community. So the answer should be, don't check with anybody. The mayors of every single town, the governor should take a stand and say, no, in Delaware, we're not going to have this. There will be no agreements. The attorney general ought to step in here and protect the people that work, that live and work in this state. Yes, we want to get rid of the criminals. I'm one for getting rid of criminals, but that's not what's happening. What's happening is if you look like you're an immigrant, you'll be stopped and taken in.
We've seen states like New Jersey, Connecticut, and Illinois already ban local municipalities and state agencies from entering into these 287G agreements. It sounds like you're saying that that's ultimately the solution you'd like to see. Is that the one you see as being most effective, at least in regard to these 287G agreements?
State ban, statewide ban. Just say no. Just say no to 287G.
There are already more than 10 pro-immigrant bills pending in the state legislature right now. Now, one that was heard this week was HB 58 that would prohibit Delaware law enforcement officers from stopping, questioning, arresting, searching, or detaining people based on their immigration status or civil immigration violations, and from asking about immigration status or acting on civil immigration warrants. Is that a bill that could effectively head off these issues with 287Gs?
Well, racial profiling is against the law anyway. We know that they shouldn't do it, but they do it. So, no, I don't believe it goes far enough. I don't believe it's deep enough. I mean, I think the bill is good because it protects those that can't protect themselves, but it's not a statewide ban. I agree with House Bill 58. I think it should get out of committee and land in the agenda, and to be voted and sent over to the Senate. But it doesn't go deep enough.
The other bill that was heard this week was HB 96, in the House at least. That would require Delaware's Division of Civil Rights and Public Trust to submit quarterly reports on any federal requests for state law enforcement assistance related to immigration, including data sharing, involvement in schools, churches, and migrant education programs. I'm going to assume that you feel like that's also just a step, not an end, but is that a good step?
That's an excellent step. 96 is a good step. 96 is a good step. It needs to get out of committee and be voted on and sent over to the Senate and signed by the governor.
One of the things you mentioned was the Attorney General's involvement. And I guess one of the reasons why I want to bring that up is because we've seen the Trump administration putting pressure on states and municipalities. Earlier this week, Delaware Attorney General Kathy Jennings joining a coalition of 19 attorneys general to file two separate lawsuits against the Trump administration over illegal immigration conditions put on billions of dollars in federal funding used for things like emergency services and infrastructure projects. From your perspective, how much does this kind of pressure that the Trump administration is putting on local governments financially to get them involved in immigration enforcement concern you?
You know, fear always hinders anybody, everybody. Fear is something that immobilizes the human being. But we need to stick together. If we have to do with less as a state, then we do with less. But we can't allow for people to be dehumanized, put behind bars because they're looking for a place to feed their families. Yes, fear. Fear does immobilize you. It does, no matter what kind of fear it is. But I think that if we look at it from a human point of view, not from a dollar point of view, we can make it if we make it together and protect ourselves and protect each other.
Well, and I guess that brings us to the idea of what else can be done beyond the legislative piece, right? Is there something that needs to be done just in terms of just the general political and societal atmosphere centering around immigration and talking about immigration and what needs to be done versus, what is taking things too far?
Take an offense. As a white person, take offense. As a Black person, take offense. Not only Latinos can take offense, but as a white person, when the women's movement was impacted, it was when white women joined the fight. When the Jews were being removed from their streets or from their homes and put in concentration camps, it was those Germans that didn't turn a blind eye that helped some survive. So don't turn a blind eye. Take a stand and take a stand for human rights, for what's right and just. That's all that takes. You know it in your heart. You know it in your soul, what's right and what's wrong. We're supposed to be a Christian country. Well, what did Jesus say? Well, do what Jesus does. Take care of the person that's next to you that can't take care of themselves because they don't have the right to be undocumented in this country. And think about the amount of money that these immigrants put in our Social Security that they will never use. But you and I will. That is, unless he takes away the citizenship of Puerto Ricans. So then I'll go back to Puerto Rico. Who knows? Take a stand for what's right and just. That's all I say.
Thanks to Latin American Community Center Executive Director Maria Matos for joining me on The Green this week. And next up on The Green, a look at how new research from Nemours Children's Health is challenging long-held assumptions about a rare genetic disorder known as brittle bone disease. You're listening to The Green here on Delaware Public Media.